I'm going to start my announcements if I ask Jackie to come up.
I just wanted to say thank you to all the ladies. We had a great ladies connect last weekend already. We went down to Shirley's House of Hope in Marshfield, and we were able to bless them with clothes and a donation, you know, like a tote full of donations. And they just were so thankful. And the ladies down there were just, they were overjoyed, and they just kept saying, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I just wanted to spread the love with anybody who was, you know, supporting that night. And I just wanted to share a little bit about Shirley's House of Hope as well. Shirley's House of Hope is for ladies who need a home, and they had their kids with them too. So there was a few ladies who had their young girls with them living at the house. And during dinner, we just had a really nice time. We were able to make dinner for them, and we were able to spend some time, you know, just conversing and sharing God's love. And actually, they ministered to us. And so they were all Christians at the center, and they were part of, a lot of the girls were out helping with Revive Wisconsin. So Revive is a great ministry where they go and basically like minister door to door in grocery stores, you know. You might be able to explain it a little bit better. But these ladies were engaged in Revive, and they were out in the communities sharing God's love, and then able to come back and share with us as well. But it was really neat to see their transformations and just how God touched their lives, because a few of the ladies shared why they were at Shirley's House of Hope, and they were addicted to meth. And they were either coming out of meth addiction, using Suboxone, which is a meth medicine. It's a medicine to help you get off of meth. And so I just, you know, want to share some hope, because our lives are impacted by addiction in more ways than we know, and their lives are, and the lives around them. And so just to keep a watchful and prayerful eye for their families and our families and everybody who's, you know, be it meth or whatever it is, addictions are addictions, and we just need to pray for release. And those ladies really blessed us with sharing their stories about their release and how God set them free and how they are now ministering to other people. And so I just wanted to say again, thank you for pouring your love out and sharing as we move forward. So, thank you. And everybody likes our Ladies Connects, too. So.
All right. In other announcements, youth group continues 6:30 to 8. Everybody having fun? Are they enjoying the foosball table? I found it in the nursery.
Okay, so are they enjoying the foosball table?
It's a secret place that moms go to play foosball, I'm sure. So May 11th, which would be next Friday, there is Nerf War at the church, 6:30. All ages are welcome. That is children of all ages, no adults. And they must have eye protection. So, you know, if you have your hands like this over your eyes, you lose your trigger fingers. So try to bring some glasses or goggles or something. Let's see. May 16th, Wednesday night, there's a guest speaker here speaking on missions, 6:30 p.m., so everybody's welcome to come to that. May 20th, there's a new series starting at the movies, Spider-Man Becoming a Superhero for God. I'm excited that maybe it'll give away a little bit of the plot, because I've never actually seen the movie, so I'm thinking I can get a two-for-one here. May 27th is the Star Wars, recognizing the battle we are in, and June 30th will be Avengers. June 2nd, Leticia, who is not here with us today, and you'll notice Jocelyn Lacey here, also not here with us today. I believe they are on a Griswold family vacation, yes, heading to see the world's largest ball of twine or something else that happens at the Corn Palace and those kinds of places out west. But they will have a going away, I believe, slash kind of birthday party. Is that correct for Leticia? At 1 o'clock, RSVP to Lacey. And June 3rd, we will have Pastor Josh's installation slash River of Hope anniversary slash thank you to Pastor Dennis and his wife here following service. Now, on that note, next weekend, next Sunday, will be Pastor Josh's first full service as the lead pastor of River of Hope, which sadly means that this Sunday will be Pastor Dennis's last Sunday leading us. And so I would like everybody just to give him a round of applause because I truly appreciate it. The selfless giving and the driving over here through winter. I mean, it wasn't like we decided, hey, can you come and see us starting May 1st through October 1st? No, we said, can you come see us starting the middle of November or whatever through all winter long? And so things worked out great. I'm super appreciative. This process has gone along amazingly. And next Sunday is kind of the start of the rest of the story. Paul Harvey, you know, if anybody, I used to love Paul Harvey as a kid. I think he's still on, which all I can. Yeah, but I thought I heard Paul Harvey on the radio the other day.
If Paul Harvey's from here,
oh. So we digress. I assume that they were taking voiceovers of Paul Harvey and still doing the current news with that, but I was a little confused, you know. Anyway, so. That is the extent of the announcements I have. And I welcome Pastor Dennis for his last service to us.
Yeah, it's funny how time goes so quickly when you're looking at the perspective of days and months. And, you know, I think God orders every step we take. So for some reason, winter was our time with you. And we were thankful to the Lord for those winter mornings when it was threatening and the snow was supposed to be here and it let up or they got the roads cleared. So thank you. Jackie, you're correct about this wonderful movement that's taking place. Revive Wisconsin is also a movement around the United States. And what happens is they go into communities and communities that are somewhat fragmented, not on purpose, but by just the nature of things. They start bringing pastors and churches together and ministries together with the common cause of blessing their community. So it's a powerful thing. It has been in Wausau. It's been in Eau Claire. I'm not sure where they're going next. And Marshfield, there you go. And also they go around other states too. So it's kind of a powerful thing. If you hear anything about it, read up on it. It's really good. So we got to thank you. Lynn and I have talked about our journey over here many times, thanking you for being here. Thank you for coming to River of Hope Church and just being a part of the family of God. As you know, my personal view of this is if Linda and I lived in Medford, this would be our church. This is where we would come to church. I love this church. I love your vision and your goals and your dreams. And you are on a journey, and it is beginning, I might say, with Pastor Josh. What a great, fantastic young man. And I look forward to hearing the good things. Also want to thank the ministry teams that are here because we have a great children's church ministry. And as you know, our new children's church leaders are in place. One of them is helping me this morning back here, but they are in place. You also have your men's ministry, women's ministry, also youth, and also a wonderful praise team. We need to congratulate our praise team. They are awesome. Thank you so much. I need to be in the presence of God, and you get me there. And also want to thank the ministry team, the board of directors of this church. That would be Roland, Travis, and John. Thank you for your incredible leadership. So there's a lot of wonderful things that are happening. Well, I'm going to preach a sermon this morning in my time here with you on the subject. The theme would be believe, but the subject or theme is everything is possible for him who believes. And that's found in Mark 9. But a part of that is the text this morning from Matthew 17. So Mark 9 tells us anything is possible if we believe. But Matthew 17 begins with these words, then Jesus rebuked the demon in the boy, and it left him. From that moment, the boy was well. Afterward, the disciples asked Jesus privately, "Why couldn't we cast out this demon?" "You didn't have enough faith," Jesus told them. And then he goes into what is a process of rebuke. None of us by nature like to be rebuked for anything. It's the nature within us to rebel against rebuke, because we take it personal and we're offended and a lot of other dynamics come into place. Jesus uses the art of rebuke to introduce blessing. And if you are gifted with the gift of rebuke, I hope you're not, but if you are, then you need to refine that gift and make it also the gift of blessing. Because Jesus illustrates what rebuke and blessing look like in the same scenario, okay? So Jesus here is speaking to his disciples and says to them, "You don't have enough faith," Jesus told them. "I tell you the truth, if you had faith even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it would move. Nothing would be impossible." Now, for some preachers, the word rebuke would be the key word. But I see a word here that I like even better, and I think describes more of what the theme is that Jesus is trying to teach his disciples, and that's the word afterward. Verse 19, afterward the disciples asked Jesus privately. So the key word here in this sermon today is that which involves the concern or the character of God to speak to his people when they have gone off the track that he's leading them on. And he uses a firm rebuke, and I'll tell you more about that in a moment, to emphasize a blessing that is in store for them as they learn this story. All of us learn through our errors. Most of us are very sensitive and somewhat oversensitive about our errors and our inability to do what we really want to do. I'm in a graduate class right now for clinical pastoral education. My advice to you is take graduate classes when you're young. From personal experience, do it when you're young, okay? Because I'm taking my second graduate class in clinical pastoral education. But one of the things I've learned in this class this semester is this, that within every one of us, there is the inner critic. The disciples are asking this, "Why can't we do this?" And most of us in this room have what's called the inner critic. It's the person that blames us, picks on us, it runs us down, it accuses us even falsely. The inner critic that says you're a failure, that you can't do this, you can't do anything right. And the inner critic oftentimes comes up so quickly to rob us of what God is wanting to do in our lives. And I've learned in this with my supervisor, who's our instructor, professor. We have an individual supervised consult every month that I'm in the class, and we were talking about this one time. She said, "Dennis, just give it a name." And I go, "Oh my goodness, what are you saying? Give it a name, inner critic, and tell the inner critic to go on vacation." So here, Jesus is rebuking them because of their lack of faith, but he is also beginning to speak into their lives about the faith of a grain of mustard seed. Almost invisible, he says, this is the kind of faith you will need to move a mountain in your life. So the disciples are asking this question. Have you ever asked Jesus this question? Why? Why is this happening? Why did this happen to us? And Jesus is telling them, the answer to your question is, since you've asked me, Jesus says, you do not have enough faith. But if you had the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, this can move the mountain, and you could speak to your mountain, and your mountain will move. Well, the next slide is a quote by Charles Spurgeon, and he kind of sets this into motion. And obviously, during my tenure here, I've talked lots about Charles Spurgeon. He is obviously one of my favorite preachers of the 1850s. You need to read him one day and read about him. But look at this quote by Charles Spurgeon. I quote, "His peerless radiance eclipsed every other. So too, it is Jesus only down there in the valley. His matchless grace can encounter no rival. Keep this forever in your mind's eye. It is the Master who did it all. His appearance on the scene removed all difficulties. In such extreme cases, there will be, and there must be, a most eminent display of God's power. And that power may be associated with means. Unassociated with means. Under any circumstances, it will be the Lord alone doing it to the praise and glory of his grace." So here we see this now. We see this picture. Somehow in the midst of the disciples' failure or inability to have the faith to move a mountain and also to pray for this deliverance and healing of this little boy who had seizures, here we see the process by which God is beginning to show them how he receives the glory. And by the way, it's kind of that way in our personal lives too. Because if you ever ask God to use you, and you pray that God use me today, and God uses you today, what is many times the encounter by which we have to guard ourselves? We say, God use me today. God uses us today. And the first encounter is this: boy, I did a good job. We have to guard ourselves with that because that's the tendency of the flesh and the humanness of who we are. But here, Spurgeon says, no, it's in the valley, it's only God that can work this out. There is no other solution. There is no other way for this to happen. It has to be from God. But we are the vessels then that he uses to bring this about. Let me tell you a little bit what happened before this text today. In verse 17, it's not in our notes here on the wall. What is on our notes on the wall? Matthew 17, 17. Here's what has happened prior to this moment. There, the father of the boy, the little boy, has come to Jesus. Jesus answered and said, Matthew 17, 17. Jesus answered and said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long will I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me." What had happened was, as it is customary in Jesus' ministry, even when Jesus said, "Let's just keep this between the two of us," to his disciples, he said, "Let's just learn this lesson together," there was always somehow the message got out. And the message that got out was to the crowds, Jesus, they brought a boy, a little boy who has seizures to Jesus. And somehow, without Facebook and without a text messaging system, it's spread like fire, and crowds have come to watch this. And they've come to encounter this. And even though the story they'd heard could have been totally off the wall wrong, they're going to come and see what's going to happen. When Jesus noticed these crowds coming around, he also in that moment, Jesus knew that there was an opportunity for them to find the blessing of rebuke. And he says to them, you are, in verse 17, Jesus said, "You faithless, perverse generation, how long will I be with you and how long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me." Suddenly, then the disciples that are there, that are there in the midst of all that's going on, the disciples are realizing something's going to happen. And by the way, when you follow Jesus, something is going to happen. Trust me, when you follow the Lord, something is going to happen. And here's a beautiful picture of how God speaks. Without the resolute power of God, his voice could not have got the command of that audience. And he says to them, in the honesty of his heart and soul, "You are a faithless generation. And because of this faithlessness that you have, you are not seeing the power of God in your lives." What happened with the disciples when they saw this, you can only imagine, this wasn't the first time they saw Jesus minister to hundreds, if not thousands, of people. And what happened, they realized at this moment, there was a disconnect between them and the Lord. They'd have to find out how to get that connected again. They may have said to themselves, we just keep failing so miserably. They may have said to themselves, God, I need help here. I can't do this on my own. They may have said, I even feel miserable more now than I did before when I come to you realizing that I am far from moving mountains. But the awakening of their heart and soul was the result of that rebuke. They start searching themselves. If someone has ever told you off, have you ever noticed you just stand firm? I don't believe that. I'm not for that. I don't listen to you anymore. And then you go home, and what do you do all the way home? You rehearse it over and over again. Trying to figure out what's valid, what's invalid, what's true, what's untrue. My boss is terrible. I can't stand him. And then you think about all the things he said to you. And somewhere in the process of this filtering into the spirit of the disciples, this rebuke is about to remind them that there is some truth to this. That what Jesus has told them about the seed, the mustard seed type of faith that can move a mountain, somewhere deep within their hearts, this is coming about. They're doing the soul searching. What did I do wrong? Why can't I do this? Why am I not able to do this, Jesus, in your name? What is wrong? What can I do? So they then see the Father in the midst of this generation of people. They see the Father come and bow down before the Lord and say, would you please heal my son? Would you take care of my son? Would you meet his needs? Would you help my son? And there before the very host of heaven and the people of earth, they saw Jesus minister and touch this little boy. If you go down, let's go down to slide number 6 for the sake of time this morning, just to keep us on track here. Mark chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Matthew 17, 20 to 22, Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and by fasting. Okay, the result of the rebuke was the blessing. And the blessing is this. If you will seek my face, if you will, in this setting, fast and pray, if you will come to the Father and spend time with the Father, you can do this. Now, I don't know what his disciples are thinking, because they're the ones that said to Jesus, how can we get this done? In other words, how can we see you and your ministry, Jesus, in us? What can we do? And Jesus now brings the blessing part of the rebuke. The blessing part is, if you will pray and if you will fast, you will be able to do this. Now, I don't know what the disciples were thinking at that moment. I can't imagine. I'm sure they're looking at each other, and they're probably beginning to see what's happening. No doubt the Holy Spirit was beginning to bring truth to their mind and their heart, and something was dynamically changing within them on a spiritual level that was going to make them the very disciples that Jesus wanted them to be. That rebuke brought on an awareness of lack and misunderstanding and even weakness, that they were going to have to trust God. And the only way, here in this setting, the only way the results were going to come whereby they could see the same miracles that Jesus saw, that they could experience the same miracles that Jesus did, they were going to have to pray and fast. In other words, they were going to have to make a commitment to it. They were going to have to find a place in God and in their relationship with God where this blessing of being used of God and seeing people's lives changed and hearts turned to God, then they were going to have to do something. And that something was to pray and to fast and seek the Lord. Now, most people over the years at Christian Assembly, when we had those weeks of fasting and prayer and so on, it's a challenge to think about it. Some of you that came out of liturgical churches, you were used to Lent, the season of Lent. But there's a place here in what we're seeing in the Word of God whereby there are some situations in your life and mine that takes a lot more than just speaking the words. There are some things in our lives that we need to go further in our commitment and relationship with Jesus. And there are times when fasting and prayer is called for. And sometimes I assume probably that'll happen at this fellowship. Your pastor one day will announce that there's going to be fasting and prayer. The results are this, that somehow God wants to move within the hearts of his people. And there is a plan by which God will do it. And it is a part by which we will say, yes, Lord, I will do what you want me to do. And it may be pray, and it may be fast, and it may be seek the face of God. There are times, let me say this, and I'm not being critical about this because I call prayer lines too. But I'm telling you, there's a point in your life where you can't call CBN or the 800 number for prayer and give it to someone else to do. There's a time where you got to own it and do it yourself. There's a time where you got to pray yourself to God and ask God to help you. And you'll find that place. You say, well, Pastor Romine, I don't understand this because here we are with a situation where Jesus says to the whole world, you faithless generation, but did you notice something here? He gave them the means by which they could find the answer to the searching in their hearts. They were desperate. When these disciples said to Jesus, Lord, how do we do this? He saw their heart. And so does the Father in heaven see your heart when you come to him and you say, Lord, this is an impossible situation. I've got an impossible situation going on here. I need you. And Jesus gave those disciples that hope and promise. Do you notice with us? He didn't say in the word, if you pray and fast, nothing will happen. He said, if you fast and pray, this will happen to you. Did you notice here? He didn't say, you're hopeless, you'll never amount to anything. No, he said, here's the answer. Jesus looked into the eyes of the disciples and saw and believed that these 12 disciples would find the way to be the children that God wanted them to be in this world when he left the world. So you must understand this. Do never leave a portion of Scripture out that you don't first of all see the fulfillment of that Scripture. And this comes down to the fact that the greater blessings were going to come because Jesus was going to ascend to the right hand of the Father, and he wouldn't be there to pick them up anymore and run to them. They were going to run to him, and they were going to pray. They were going to see God move in their situation. I love these scriptures. D.L. Moody said it this way. Faith takes God without any ifs. Faith takes God without any ifs. One unknown author wrote this. Faith can move mountains. Doubt can create them. Faith can move mountains. Doubt can create them. And then the next slide number 10, mountain-moving faith comes from looking at God, not at your mountain. Man, that's a lesson from me. Have you ever had a mountain that seems so big? And you're going, I'm believing God. I'm believing God. And all I can see is my mountain instead of my God. And what a lesson it is in the hearts of the disciples. There was a lot of mountains, and the mountains in their lives were not the Great Smokies. They weren't the Gallatin Mountains of Montana. They weren't the Rocky Mountains that was holding them back. It was the mountain of the problem and the circumstances before them. And God just spoke to them and said, if you will have the faith of that grain of mustard seed, you can move this mountain. So my friend, when you are going through the struggle and when you're facing the uncertainties of tomorrow, when you don't know how to get past the point you're at, stop staring at the mountain and start seeking God. And the disciples are going to pick this up. When Jesus rebuked them for being faithless, he was really beginning the process by which they would know how much he loved them and cared for them and how much he desired to bless their lives. Mark 9:29, so Jesus said to them, this kind come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. The prophet Isaiah prophesied 300 or 400 years before Jesus began his ministry with these words. Isaiah 58, verse 6. Is this not the fast that I've chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? The prophet began to speak to the nation of Israel. This is what your father is telling you, that he desires to see your mountain move. In Isaiah 58, verse 8 through 9, then your light shall break forth like the morning, your healing shall break forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard, and you shall call, and the Lord will answer, and you shall cry, and he will say, here I am. Oh, my friend, listen. We can't leave this text without realizing how much God is for us, not against us. How God is just cares and loves you with such empowered blessing and grace that there is no reason for any of us to doubt the power of his name in our lives. The disciples will go on. This isn't the last story. If you've read the Gospels recently, you will know the next event is right around the corner. The next part of the journey is about to happen. The next means by which God will prove his grace and love and mercy and power is right around the corner, because that was the walk they did with Jesus. When they slept where he slept, they walked where he walked, they ate where he ate. It was the process by which he was going to work in and through their lives. And he gives this as an example to you and I that God is capable and God has the power and God has the love and grace to make you everything he wants you to be in him. You are not, it's not necessarily scripture, maybe an old phrase that says you're not lacking in anything. In other words, God has equipped you well to do his good work in this world. And I encourage you to take hold of this and allow God to speak this into your life, because if you can believe, Mark chapter 9, verse 23, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Would you stand with me this morning as we pray, as we look to God? As you bow your heads with me, there is no mountain too big for our God. There is no need too great that God cannot meet it. There is no valley that you and I are walking through in our lives that he is not present. He is there. As we pray in closing this morning, allow the precious promise of God to give hope and promise to you. He loves you and he cares for you. He desires more than anything else in the world that you might know him in ways you've never known him before. He loves his people so much. His Holy Spirit was sent. The third person of the Trinity came. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Where I am, there I am, there you may be also. He said, I've got to go to the right hand of the Father, that the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, would come. The scripture says the Holy Spirit will not only be with you, the Holy Spirit will be in you. And therefore, my friend, we move mountains today in the mighty name of our God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning, though we run into a lot of things in our lives, there are a lot of moments in where we are facing situations we've never faced before. But one thing is sure. One thing is dominant in our lives. And that is the great promise that Jesus is with us through it all. So Lord, you're raising up, even in this room this morning, those of us who struggle, who have trials and tribulation, we rise up to see that God is greater than anything in my life. That God, I'm going to stop looking at the mountain and I'm going to start looking to the Creator. I'm going to stop looking at the barriers in my life and I'm going to start seeing the value of your power in my life. Oh God, we surrender everything to you and surrender our hearts, our homes, our family, our children, our finances, our jobs, our professions, everything that we are and will ever be is surrendered to you today. And Lord, we will stand in your power and in your name. And we will face our mountains and we will believe, even as it were with a grain of mustard seed. Lord, bless your people today. Increase our faith as we serve you. And we will go in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Hey, there's someone near you who wants to shake your hand. God bless you as you go today. The Lord is with you. Amen.